It probably goes without saying that this is not my favorite parable from the Gospel of Matthew. I don't even think it's in the top three, if I'm honest with you. I don't preach or believe in a gospel in which the point is to hoard all of your resources and turn away anybody asking for help. But of course, no parable is meant to be taken literally. Putting aside for the moment my knee-jerk reaction of, it's not fair, I wonder if this parable is less about how we should treat other people's lamps than about how we should treat our own lamps, about taking personal responsibility for our lamps and our oil, personal responsibility for our spiritual lives, for our relationship with Jesus. Christianity, after all, was never meant to be a spectator sport. And the thing is, I can preach a 50, 60-minute sermon. I'm not going to, but I could. And I can pray until I levitate like some old medieval saint, but I can't actually do your religion for you. I can pray and I can study and I can share the gospel as it has been revealed to me, but I can't do your prayer or your study for you. I can't keep the flame of your passion lit. And this parable reminds us that we all have limited resources, and I can't ration them for you. So if we choose not to take this parable literally, and for one, oil is far cheaper in our day than it was in Jesus's, so it starts to fall apart almost immediately. The other thing is that oil is particularly cheap when we compare it to our really precious energy reserves. I'm talking about your physical, your mental, and your spiritual energy. We all have limits on those resources, and you can't just hand those resources to someone else. So if you have limited resources, where and how are you spending yours? There's this lie that the world tells us, right, that we can have it all and we can do it all. And it's such a seductive lie because it makes us feel powerful. It's sort of the root of most idolatry, I think. And it's a useful lie because it makes us feel guilty about not doing or having it all. It's an even more useful lie because it gets us to buy more and more stuff. It makes us believe that there's some solution that we can find somewhere else. But when the clock strikes midnight, we're all left with the truth that we are human and we have limited resources, limited energy. Moreover, when you go knocking on the door of heaven, it won't be me who's on the other side of that door anyway. So will it be someone you recognize? Will it be someone who you have spent enough time and attention on in this life to recognize you? Again, we all have limited oil. To devote yourself to one thing is to abandon another. Every time you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to another. Every time you take something on, work, family, leisure, the less oil you have in your lamp. Even good things, even worthy things, they take our time and our energy, especially if you're going to do them well. And as our passage from Joshua says, you cannot serve multiple gods. You cannot devote yourself entirely to one thing. You cannot devote yourself entirely to more than one master. To follow God, you must often put away something else, even something that has been precious or useful to you in the past, even something that has been precious and useful in your family for generation upon generation. And since it is stewardship season too, let's just go ahead and say it too. We all have limited financial resources as well. I think that one of the purposes of stewardship campaign is to make us realize this. It's much easier to see the truth of our limited resources when there are numbers attached, right? When they're written out in black and white. Writing out a pledge card once a year and writing that check or making that payment, hopefully more than once a year, forces us to confront that we are, in reality, constantly making decisions, one after another, about how we deploy and how we spend our resources, our financial resources, but also our mental, emotional, spiritual, physical resources. Even the ones that we can't write checks on. And this is not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to resolve to work harder on, because it's just being human. It's just a symptom of living in a time-limited body. Sometimes you hear a joke around this season that says you should give till it hurts, but the truth behind it is that you should be giving until it changes you. And change often hurts. We give not just for the good of this place, but the good of ourselves, so that our lives are changed and shaped by our commitments. But again, you are human, which means you do not have unlimited resources. not unlimited time, not unlimited life, not unlimited oil in your lamp. We are human, which means we must be wise. We must be wise, which means saying no sometimes, which means saying no to conserve our resources for what really sets our hearts on fire. But let me end with one caveat to all this. I know there may be some of you here or listening online who are really, truly running on fumes. There are many of us who do not get to pick and choose among our responsibilities. I do think that within limited parameters, there are usually choices to be made, and I believe that those choices matter deeply. Again, they matter because they shape our lives, and they matter because the shape of our lives matters to God. But you may be so exhausted today that you cannot figure out what your choices are. I have been there. And there are two things in this gospel that provide grace for those occasions. First of all, everyone takes a nap sometimes. Wise and foolish, all the bridesmaids fall asleep. A couple chapters later in Matthew, all the disciples are going to fall asleep. Not because they're evil or unwise or foolish, but because they're human. We have time-limited bodies that have physical needs. And second, what if it's not running out of oil that's actually the problem here? Think about it. For the foolish bridesmaids, when the door swings open at the end of the parable, the Lord doesn't say, "You didn't have enough oil." He says, "I don't know you. You weren't here." Maybe what happens is that they leave and they give up because they allow themselves to be sucked back into the world's economy. They believe the lie that they can buy a problem or buy a solution to their problem in the market. And that causes them to miss the crucial moment when the doors open and the bridegroom welcomes them in. So maybe all you need to do is to stick around. Stick around, even if the supposedly wise ones tell you to leave. Stick around, even if the world tells you you can buy a solution to your problems elsewhere. Stick around if you are exhausted enough to fall asleep one more time. Stick around. Because we do not live as those without hope. We live as those who know who will be on the other side of the door when midnight strikes. We live as those who know that the one on the other side of the door knows us, has claimed us as his own. So while we wait, we temper our pace and we make our decisions, including some very hard decisions. We make these decisions not based entirely on the evidence that is in front of us, on the door that is closed. We base it on things yet unseen, on what, as the apostle and many others write, these things that have been promised to us. We say no to some things which are pleasurable, even things which are good, even things that the world tells us we should value above all else. We say no to some of these things so that we can say yes to God. Yes to the one waiting at the door to beckon us into the party. To live wisely, I think, simply means as living as one who is aware, one who makes prudent decisions based on limited resources, one who is wise enough to have learned the lessons passed down from generation to generation, and to be aware of the ultimate lesson, that although we do not know the day or the hour, we do know that God will come to claim us, will come to throw those doors open and claim us as her own. God will come indeed again to usher us into the feast. Amen.